experts, quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Rick Pitino is suing the University of Louisville Athletic Association for $37.6 million. Pitino says his contract was breached when he was put on unpaid leave and then fired with no legally justified cause. Pitino was fired in mid-October in the midst of an FBI investigation of college basketball. Coverage underway right now on ESPN, a top five matchup for fifth-ranked Notre Dame and number three Michigan State in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Since his last competitive round 10 months ago, Tiger Woods had his fourth back surgery and a DUI arrest, leading to a stint in a treatment program. Today, Woods shoots a 3-under-69 in the first round of the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas. He is three shots behind the leader, Tommy Fleetwood. ESPN's Mark Schlabaugh reports Florida State is asking for a quick decision from Coach Jimbo Fisher on whether he'll stay in Tallahassee.
I am. We're busting our tails 16 hours a day and coaching this season for the best possible season these kids can have. And our loyalty right now, no decision has been made anywhere. And what we're doing right now is busting our tail for these kids to have a chance to be a bowl game and keep this legacy alive.
Fisher on ESPNU Radio on Sirius XM. He's a candidate for the Texas A&M job. Ohio State quarterback JT Barrett will play in the Big Ten title game against Wisconsin. He had surgery Sunday to clean up his injured right knee. Clemson linebacker Trey Lamar out for the ACC title game against Miami with a shoulder injury. In the NFL, Week 13 kicks off tonight in Texas with the Cowboys hosting the Redskins. Both teams are 5-6.
Mike Golic here. Friday, the SEC Network's Tim Tebow joins to preview championship weekend. Plus, Katie Nolan joins us. And more donuts, we hope. It's Golic and Wingo, Friday, starting at 6 Eastern. ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
Guys, the JCPenney Holiday Challenge is here. Get everything you need for less than you think. Get her something she's really going to love, like diamond studs or pendant, each just $25. Starting Thursday, save up to 60% on select fine jewelry. Plus, get an extra 40% off sale prices with your JCPenney credit card. Or take an extra 30% off any way you pay. Surprise her this holiday with the perfect gift. Hurry in, end soon. JCPenney. Offers represent savings on regular original prices while supplies last. Credit offers subject to credit approval. Some exclusions apply. See store jcp.com for details.
We alarm our houses, and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your Social Security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
Truex takes home the big trophy tonight and says there's one big reason.
It's just people, man, you know. It's the right situation, the right people around me.
I'm Woody Kane. The story next on NASCAR Today.
Hey, it's Rob Tanner, and NASCAR USA is giving one lucky listener a trip to the 2018 Daytona 500. We'll tell you the country music artist who performed and the driver who won the Daytona 500. You tell us what year it happened. It's the Daytona 500 Rewind. Log on to MRN.com/NASCAR USA with your answer. See entry site for details, and for tickets to the Daytona 500, call 1-800-PIT-SHOP or visit Daytona500.com.
Colonel Sanders here with another important holiday message from KFC. This year, don't get the ones you love some lame, boring gift like a new car or jewelry or toys or expensive electronics or any other junk. Nope, get that special someone what they really want. Exactly! A KFC $5 fill-up with 100% white meat popcorn chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink. It's a perfect gift for all those important people in your life who get hungry right around lunchtime. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Available for a limited time only. Pricing and participation may vary. Tax extra.
A climb years in the making culminates tonight in Las Vegas for Martin Truex Jr. as he officially gets the 2017 Cup Champion Award. He says much of the credit goes to those around him.
Early in my career, it seemed like every time we started to gain some traction and get that momentum going, a big change would come, or you know, something would change that would take that momentum away and that performance away. So just to consistently build together with this group and be with Toyota and all they put into the program and the Joe Gibbs relationship, all those things just keeping us, you know, on the cutting edge of the sport on the performance side has been huge.
We'll have live coverage of the awards ceremony tonight from Las Vegas at 7 Eastern Time. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
Welcome in and welcome back. Hour number three of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way, taking you to the 7 o'clock hour tonight. Alex's final hour on the air this week. He's off tomorrow. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be sitting in. Right now, I'm looking around the studio and I'm seeing Alex, I'm seeing Kyle, and I'm looking at the clock and I see that it is Thursday, and that means that it is time for something that we like to call Would You?
It's now time for everyone's favorite weekly segment.
Would you rather know when you're going to die, or would you rather know how you're going to die?
But why would you even say that? For shock value?
Can you give yourself a ding?
It's as simple as a yes or no.
Of course you would. Who wouldn't?
Would you?
All right. Let's start with a question on the minds of a lot of Iowa and Iowa State football fans right now. Alex Kuhn, where would you like to see Iowa and Iowa State wind up bowling this year?
I think everybody's minds are made up on Nashville for Iowa, but I'd rather see them play in San Diego. I know a lot of people don't want to pay the extra expenses to travel, and I get that. Nashville, you can drive 10 hours and get there, and you'll play an SEC opponent, but I'm always of the belief that if you are selected, in this case it would be over Northwestern, for a higher profile bowl game, then you would much rather go to that bowl game than a lower profile bowl game. So I'm going to say that for Iowa, I would like to see them in San Diego in the Holiday Bowl. And for Iowa State, if the fans really want to be in Florida for a bowl game for the first time ever, I'll give them the Camping World Bowl.
Okay, so you're
going best case
scenario in both cases.
Yes.
Iowa, if you had to handicap it right now, the Holiday Bowl, you'd say, right, about a 5% chance. They need a lot of help to get to San Diego.
Yes, but I still think it's a possibility, and I still think the Pinstripe Bowl is a possibility, which when you...
Too much of one, if you ask me.
I'm with you there. I really don't want to see Iowa playing in Yankee Stadium.
In fairness, the question is, where would you like to see Iowa and Iowa State wind up, not where they're going to end up? So, Kyle, same question for you. Where would you like to see Iowa and Iowa State playing their postseason football this year?
Well, my thing with, at least with Iowa, I'm not going to sit here and say that I think Iowa deserves to go to the most prestigious bowl. That's not going to be my stance. Honestly, I'll just... For the Iowa fans who plan on going to the game, I'm gonna sit right with Alex on this one and say, I would like to see them able to go to either Nashville or, like you said, it's not very likely right now, but potentially San Diego, and that's really just solely for the people who plan on going. You know, I hope you guys can have a good time. But then for Iowa State, I am going to say that I think that they deserve the most prestigious bowl possible, at least the opportunity to knock off another prestigious opponent. And I think for Iowa State, I would really like to see them matched up with Notre Dame, just because, you know, it's been a heck of a year for them, and if they got to put the cherry on top by beating a big name school like Notre Dame, you know, I think that'd be pretty cool for them.
Now, that has even less of a chance probably of happening than Iowa going to the Holiday Bowl, but I know people wrote about it, and fans sort of have gravitated to that. That would be certainly the best case scenario. I think the future for Iowa State lies somewhere between the Liberty Bowl and the Camping World Bowl, but not against Notre Dame. I think best case scenario, they're going to the Camping World Bowl. Likely scenario, they're headed to somewhere north of the Liberty Bowl. I think they're going to avoid going back to Memphis, although Jamie Pollard was quoted in Randy Peterson's story in the Des Moines Register today as saying he's got the best relationship with the Liberty Bowl rep, and the Liberty Bowl would really like Iowa State fans to come back to Beale Street. But you never been to Florida for a bowl game before? Think of the influx that would be hitting Orlando.
So between those two would be the Texas Bowl, so Iowa State fans could take over Houston if they get into that bowl game. Brett McMurphy actually reported today that he believes the loser of the AAC championship game will end up in the Liberty Bowl, whether that is UCF or Memphis. So if Iowa State fans, keep that in the back of your mind.
So you heard it here first, November 30th, 6:10 p.m., Central Florida has accepted an invitation to the Liberty Bowl, according to Alex Kuhn. Who would you say is Tennessee's best bet to be its next head coach at this point, Alex? Kyle?
Hey, I wish that I had a great answer for this, because we've seen all the jokes by now. Who is left? It seems like everybody that they've talked to, to this point has said no. And after what happened with Schiano, and I don't know who is going to want to go there. Honestly, I wish I had a good answer for this. I think Kevin Sumlin, I think he's a good coach. He did good things at A&M, but for whatever reason, I've seen reports that Tennessee just isn't interested in him, or thinks they're above a guy who failed elsewhere in the SEC. I don't really know. I wish I had a good answer for that, because it doesn't seem like anybody is a good bet to go there.
I would say somebody that I brought up and Adam Rittenberg brought up during our segment in the beginning of hour number two, bring in Les Miles. At this point, they are not above Les Miles, a guy who has over 150 wins and less than 45 losses in his coaching career. And yes, he had a lot of talent at LSU, but he also did it at Oklahoma State as well and set Mike Gundy up for success in Stillwater. This is a guy who has his shortcomings as a football coach, but anybody that they're going to hire right now is going to have their shortcomings as a football coach, including some of the coaches that have turned them down. Dave Doran today, a guy who was on the hot seat 2 years ago at NC State, used Tennessee to get a raise in Raleigh. Dave Doran, who is 15-25 in the ACC, said, no, I'm good. I'm not going to Tennessee. So there can be the delusion that they're going to hire John Gruden or some of these top-level coaches, and Jimbo Fisher is going to jump ship, or whoever the case may be. It's not going to happen at this point. They weren't necessarily the top option before the Greg Schiano debacle, and they're certainly not after. So they're on option number 10. Dave Doran said no. They got to hire who is available, and maybe Les Miles would take that job.
Boy, I don't even know if he option number 10 right now. I think they may be lower on the names that have been floated out there publicly. I did think it was interesting that Adam Rittenberg immediately dismissed T. Martin, saying he's just not ready for that job.
Interesting.
2 years as an offensive coordinator. He's only 39 years old. Matt Campbell's 38. He's coaching in the Big 12. I don't know, the aura, the mystique of the SEC in Tennessee, that he's not ready for that job. Well, there's a lot of guys out there that aren't ready to take that job. He's ready to at least take the job. Could he get results? That would be another question. But at some point in time, it goes back to the question that I asked Adam. How do all sides move on from this? When we get resolution, when they get a coach hired there in Knoxville, how do you move on? If you're the coach, how do you go about business knowing that, you were so far down on the list that automatically people are against your hire, that they're probably not going to give you a fair shake? You're not the guy that they wanted because your name's not Gruden. How do you move on? And how do you let John Curry make the hire in the first place? I would just completely sever ties with him. Okay, a pivoting to the world of baseball. The stove is starting to heat up a little bit, and one of the names that we're going to hear quite a bit about over the next couple weeks as we head toward the winter meetings, Giancarlo Stanton of the Miami Marlins, who is reportedly close to being dealt, perhaps, to the San Francisco Giants if he would waive his no-trade clause. The package that the Giants are offering the Marlins, by the way, is not a substantial return for a player of Stanton's caliber, but this is all about dumping salary. Now, the Marlins have said it's either accept the trade or stay in Miami, but they will tear the entire team down around Giancarlo Stanton, so you will be the only decent player on said team. So, Alex, if you were Giancarlo Stanton, what would you do? Would you stay in Miami, hold firm, and watch the team be dismantled around you, or would you accept the trade, even though it's not necessarily probably the first thing that you want?
I would accept the trade under my own terms, because I do have a full no-trade clause, and if you're going to try to send me to a rebuilding team, I'm not going to accept that, because right now, if you dump all the players around me, I'm on a rebuilding team anyway. So if it is the San Francisco Giants, I still think that that is a team that could win, assuming all of their pretty much all of the players that got hurt last year are able to come back and play this year. But I still kind of want to play for a winning team. So if I am talking to the San Francisco Giants and they're telling me, yeah, we'll bring you in, and they don't think that they can contend in 2018, then I'm nixing the trade and I'm staying right there in South Beach. Giancarlo Stanton is one of those guys that just seems like he has that superstar aura. He likes being in big markets. He likes the appeal of South Beach. And he probably is fairly comfortable with where he is at right now. And if they're going to tear the team down around him, then how much worse can it possibly get than what it already is? They're a losing team. They'll continue to be a losing team. Yes, they'll lose more games. But eventually you have to think that Derek Jeter and company there will try to build it back up. So on my own terms, I'm saying, yes, trade me, but I'm still not just going to go willy-nilly to any situation that they send me.
Dilly-dilly?
Dilly-dilly. I'm not going to the pit of misery.
As soon as my team came to me and made a threat like, either you accept the trade or we're going to just destroy everything around you and leave you to rot, but things become very... You know, I don't like that sort of animosity. So that initially, as soon as they make that threat, I'm a lot more comfortable with just get me the heck out of here. I don't want to be a part of this. The Giants, like Alex said, they've got some decent pieces on that team. Maybe they can win there. But kind of regardless where it is, it sounds like Miami has an idea of where they want to take that team and that roster. And I think this kind of reminds me of a quote from, we'll toss it back to Game of Thrones here. There is a character named Littlefinger who is very selfish and very power hungry. And I think, I don't even know who it was. Somebody said the line. They said, Littlefinger would burn this kingdom to the ground if he could be king, if he could reign over the ashes. And I don't think Stanton doesn't want to be king of the ashes. I think he just won the MVP. He's at the peak of his career. He wants to be on a good team. I mean, I think he had, And Miami's clearly not about to be a very good team. I would accept the trade.
That was the first Game of Thrones reference that I actually understood. Usually when people are trying to explain it to me, it just makes me not want to watch the show even more. Maybe I'm a little bit too absent-minded or whatever. You can call me dumb, that's fine. But I understood that one.
That's
well
a
done,
good
Kyle.
Line, though, right?
Sure, yeah.
Thanks.
Definitely.
Littlefinger would be a good nickname, but I don't know about the connotations that are attached to that. I know you guys aren't necessarily golf guys, but would you say Tiger Woods is back? What'd we hear today all day in the office?
Tiger's back.
Which is funny because Tiger has back problems. So every time I hear Tiger's back, I'm like...
You just stole my thunder there. I was going to say, yes, if we're referencing injuries, because he's about to throw his back out again, 41 years old, coming back to the PGA. No, he's not going to win a major. He'll probably never win a tournament. But hey, he's playing again. How long till he can join the senior tour?
He shot a better score than three of the top eight players in the world today. He's at 3 under.
Excellent.
Like you said, though, I think Tiger's got back issues. I don't think anybody really thought that he couldn't come out for, you know, one day and look good. But I think the issue with Tiger at this point with those back problems is just longevity. You know, can he come out tomorrow and look as good? Can he come out next weekend and look as good? I mean, it's not exciting, it's not fun, but you can't say Tiger's back after just today. You're going to have to wait and see if he can do it again. And unfortunately, I think I know how that's going to go.
Well, I think you hit on that there. Relatively speaking, I think you can now say that Tiger is back based on the expectations that people have for Tiger. After he goes through his divorce and the infamous Thanksgiving Day debacle where he took a 9-iron through the windshield of his car, people were actually thinking that he was going to be able to return to the form he was prior to that incident. And when it never happened, there were a lot of people disappointed. And we actually got to that point where we were wondering if he was ever going to golf again. So just him being back right now is okay for some people. He doesn't have to go out there and win tournaments. He doesn't have to win majors. Just the fact that he is back on the golf course in PGA events is okay because at least he's playing. And the expectations have gone so far down that, okay, I will give the golf fans a little bit of a benefit of the doubt for them being excited that he's back on a golf course.
Would you say, and this is a toss-up here, you guys can handle it, would you say it's safe to say that calling Iowa a developmental program is no longer an insult after Josie Jewell and Josh Jackson were named the best players at their position today in the Big Ten? Both players came to Iowa as two-star recruits.
I don't know. I think it gets thrown around a little bit too much. I think that Iowa does a good job of finding diamonds in the rough at the linebacker position and the offensive line and in the secondary. They struggle a little bit finding wide receivers of that same caliber of bringing them in when they were under-recruited and getting the most out of them. And sometimes I think people use it as a crutch for a bad season or a season where they don't live up to expectations. And if we're going to use it, then we have to use it at all times. So I don't think it's an insult to begin with. I think that some people use it as an excuse sometimes. And I don't think that even the people who are in charge of the football program would want that used as an excuse. Oh, well, we're young this year. We're a developmental program. That's why we're losing games. There's never an excuse for losing. And a program that has had as much success as Iowa's, the program that expects to even win 7 or 8 games a year, doesn't really get allotted that crutch. So I think that it's similar to calling, like you said, it's similar to calling a quarterback a game manager. I don't think it's necessarily an insult. I don't take it to be an insult. And sometimes it can be used as somewhat of an excuse, and I don't want it to be used as that.
Did Todd make the game manager comparison?
No, that was me.
Oh, that was you. Okay. I think that's perfect, because game manager is used as an insult a lot, but it really shouldn't be, because what does a game manager do? Protects the ball, moves the ball, doesn't make mistakes, basically just does the baseline things that, you know, quarterbacks are supposed to do. And so to call Iowa a developmental program is to say that it does what college football programs are supposed to do. It takes players and makes them better over a period of time. And, I mean, Iowa, the track record speaks for itself. Iowa is better at doing that than a lot of other schools. There are a lot of other schools who have similar recruiting classes, similar talent levels, and they don't perform as well as Iowa does, you know, once every 4 years or so. They'll really hit on a good year. There's a lot of teams that don't do that with a similar talent pool. And so it definitely shouldn't be an insult. It's actually something to be proud of.
All right, final would you of the night, and Alex, you're going to get to take this one off because it's for Kyle. Kyle, would you like to make caller number 6 very happy right now?
Sure would.
Caller number 6 is going to take home tickets to see Foreigner at the U.S. Cellular Center in March. It's Foreigner along with the Dave Egger Orchestra. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. You can win them right now before you can even buy them. Caller number 6 to 319-366-1600. We'll find out who our winner is and get another big board in before we return after this.
Back in 1947, when young Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, the sparse utility of the war years was ready to give way to the cheer of color in fashion, furniture, and of course, jewelry. Women from Hollywood starlet to housewife glowed with colored gemstones on ear, neck, and hand. Often these beauties were received in a Hertine and Stocker box on Christmas morning. Ruby red and emerald green, blue sapphire, purple amethyst, aquamarine. Colored gemstones are again bringing cheer and joy. In fact, any one of these rare beauties would make an unforgettable holiday gift this year. So come see what's sparkling in those famous frosty windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and wish happy holidays and a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
6:26, welcome back in the final hour of the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, continuing right now on all three frequencies, 106.3 FM, our South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM, the historic main gym, heard all across eastern Iowa. No KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire tomorrow. I'm going to be doing the show here in the studio. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be sitting in for Alex, who will be making his way to Orlando. And we'll hear from Alex again coming up on Monday's program. And by then, we'll know where Iowa and Iowa State are heading this bowl season. Does it say Allen and Marion?
Yes, it does. Allen, all right. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Allen. You are going to be off to the U.S. Cellular Center in March to see Foreigner and the Dave Egger Orchestra. They just announced today, the Eagles did, that they're going to be playing a concert in Des Moines next year, along with, Vince Gill, I think, is on the card. They're playing with Jimmy Buffett at Target Field in the Twin Cities this summer.
Are you going to be going to that?
June 30th. I would really like to go to that. Now, it's, you know, Glenn Frey is dead, so it's not really the Eagles, but it's the three living members and Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band on top of it. It's it'd be hard to turn down if I could get tickets. I'm sure they're going to be hard to find. 319-366-1600. That is the Hertine and Stocker text line. It's available for you to participate on the program tonight. It's also the number to pick up and give us a call. But you can't do that right now because there would be nobody to answer the phone because Kyle is back in the studio for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa had a pair of all-timers on this year's defense, and today they were each recognized by the Big Ten as the best at their position. Cornerback Josh Jackson was named the Tatum Woodson Defensive Back of the Year. Josie Jewell earned the Butkus Fitzgerald Linebacker of the Year, as well as the Nagurski Woodson Defensive Player of the Year. And this may be the least surprising news of the football season, but Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell was named the Big 12 Coach of the Year today. He took a 3-9 team from last year to 7-5 this season, the best year for the Cyclones since 05. And while Iowa State has only ever had one top five opponent in program history, Campbell led his team to 2 in this season alone. The Iowa women nearly upset number 13 Florida State last night. The Hawkeyes led 71-63 entering the fourth quarter, but 21 turnovers on the night came back to bite them, and they fell 94-93 in the final minutes. Megan Gustafson had 34 points on 15 of 18 from the floor, but was held to single-digit rebounds for the first time this season. The UNI men did upset UNLV last night. Bennett Cook led with 30 points in the 77-68 victory over the previously unbeaten Rebels. Northern Iowa now has a few good non-con wins already, and to put things into perspective, their RPI is 27, Iowa State's is 20, Iowa's is 237. Tonight after the show, we're headed all over the place. We've got three frequencies. We're going to be using all of them. On 1600 AM, the historic main gym, we'll have the Iowa State women traveling to Drake, set to tip off right at 7. We'll also have the Iowa City West guys hosting Dowling. That'll be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and Linmar visiting Kennedy on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Speaking of Drake, I'm glad you brought up the Bulldogs, because I want to take a moment to acknowledge the passing today of Paul Morrison, who was a longtime sports information director and essentially historian for Drake Sports and the Bulldogs program. And I know from time to time here on the program I say no one cares about Drake, which isn't entirely true. There are Drake alums living in the area. They're just very, very, very low on the totem pole here in eastern Iowa. But Paul Morrison passed away, and he was 100 years old, and Drake to the very end. As a matter of fact, they're honoring him tonight. I think they've got a women's basketball game there, and they've got his seat courtside at the Knapp Center completely festooned with black and blue ribbons to honor him. So I didn't know him very well, but I know a lot of people in my profession did, and nobody would say a bad word about him. A very nice guy, and a former Bulldog and current Iowa assistant women's basketball coach Jan Jensen had some very nice things to say about Paul Morrison and his passing on Twitter earlier today, and we echo her sentiment. 6:30, we'll step aside and take a timeout. When we come back, more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
It's the Ford year-end sales event.
I can't wait for you to meet my parents.
Yeah, can't wait. Oh, here's a spot.
Can you fit?
Just watch.
I am, and so is my family. Why are you taking your hands off the wheel?
And park.
The Ford Edge, with available enhanced active park assist, makes parallel parking very impressive.
They're gonna love you.
That's Ford, America's best-selling brand, now with exclusive holiday offers. Get 0% APR financing for 72 months, plus 1,000 Ford credit cash on select Fusion, Focus, Escape, Edge, and Explorer models. Hurry, offer expires November 30th, 2017. Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Driver assist features are supplemental and do not replace driver's attention, judgment, and need to control the vehicle. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for 1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by November 30th, 2017. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to GEICO. I'm so happy, I feel like I can fly.
Disclaimer, you will not be able to fly by switching to GEICO. This is against the laws of physics and nature. If you find yourself flying, please seek professional and or medical help immediately. In the unlikely event you find yourself flying, you might be a superhero or a pigeon or a superhero named Pidge Woman who was bitten by a radioactive pigeon. If you are indeed Pidge Woman, GEICO retains all licensing publishing rights in the event Pidge Woman the movie becomes a top-grossing Hollywood blockbuster.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Guys, the JCPenney Holiday Challenge is here. Get everything you need for less than you think. Get her something she's really gonna love, like diamond studs or pendant, each just $25. Starting Thursday, save up to 60% on select fine jewelry. Plus, get an extra 40% off sale prices with your JCPenney credit card. Or take an extra 30% off any way you pay. Surprise her this holiday with the perfect gift. Hurry in, end soon. JCPenney. Offers represent savings on regular original prices. While supplies last, credit offers subject to credit approval. Some exclusions apply. See store jcp.com for details.
6:32, welcome back and welcome in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Heading for 7 o'clock tonight, a number of sporting events on the horizon. One of them that you will not hear tonight is Thursday Night Football, the Redskins and the Cowboys. So get those fantasy football lineups set if you're a Kirk Cousins owner or Alfred Morris. I'm trying to think of who else might be involved in that game tonight. There aren't a whole lot of great fantasy football options on either one of those teams, but it's a tremendous rivalry and goes back a long ways. Washington and Dallas coming up tonight to kick off week 13 of the NFL season. If you need fantasy football advice and couldn't catch him last night in the 6 o'clock hour, Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com joined us. You can go to our website, kgymradio.com, and download the podcast. While you're there, vote in the Emil's Hideaway poll question. Which player will Iowa miss more on the defensive side of the ball in 2018, Josie Jewell or Josh Jackson? Now, Jackson is only a junior. He could, in theory, come back next year, but lots of media outlets are starting to peg him as a first-round pick, a likely a very high first-round draft pick with his play, depending on his performance at the combine. So assuming that Jewell and Jackson are both out of the picture, who's the bigger loss for the Hawkeyes next year? Emil's Hideaway is the sponsor of the poll question. You can find him on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's, and next to the Home Depot. Alex, who's the bigger loss next year, Josie Jewell or Josh Jackson?
Josie Jewell's great, but whenever you have a cornerback that can play that position as well as Josh Jackson can, it's invaluable. The fact that he can be a shutdown corner against some of the competition that he plays in the Big Ten and make offensive coordinators say, we are not going that direction on the field. Desmond King, to a certain extent at times, was able to do that, but he doesn't have the physical attributes that Josh Jackson does. So I'm going to say that Josh Jackson will be the bigger loss for this defense, not taking anything away from Josie Jewell. But I don't know if you're seeing this, Todd. I don't know why the thought came across my head, and if people inside the athletic department and inside that football office are listening right now, I apologize for this, but are you seeing some of the players right now deciding to skip bowl games in order to forego their senior season?
I have not. This is a relatively recent phenomenon, but I expect to see more and more of it as we move further and further toward the abyss, but I can't blame those guys.
I can't either.
If they're staring at the likelihood of a first-round draft pick and guaranteed money and millions of dollars, it's life-altering money. And football is one of those sports where you step wrong once and you blow out a knee or you take a bad hit and you get a concussion and you wind up dealing with concussion issues the rest of your life. No, I don't blame those guys one bit. I think it's a tough sell for the fans who travel to the bowl game and tough all around, but it's your body, your decision whether or not you want to play in that game or not. I always put myself in the position of, could you do that to your teammates if you were looking at a big payday in the NFL? But you were also looking at 84 other guys on scholarship in the locker room, and they want to win that bowl game. Could you do that to them and say, no, man, I'm sitting out? 319-366-1600. Could you do that to your teammates?
The first person to decide that he wanted to do it this year was Connor Williams of Texas, who was going to be a first-round draft pick on the offensive line, and he's had a lot of injury issues already. He missed most of the season with an injury this year. And if I'm him, absolutely, I can do that. Because I think that anybody that plays this sport, like you said, goes through the grind and goes through the bumps and the bruises that you have during the course of a regular season. Nobody is 100% healthy right now. And I feel like the teammates would understand, for the most part, what a guy like Connor Williams was thinking when deciding to skip the bowl game. They're 6-6 are the Texas Longhorns, and they're going to be playing in their first bowl game in, I think, 3 years since 2014. But if you're in the college football playoff, or if you're in a New Year's Six bowl, doesn't that have to weigh in on your decision? And last year, it was Leonard Fournette and it was Christian McCaffrey, who both, those were the only two players to skip their bowl games and forgo their senior season to go to the NFL draft. They were not in New Year's Six Bowls. Once we start seeing it spill over into big-time bowl games, that's when I think it's going to start hurting college football.
I think that's a solid approach to this. I mean, if you're sitting out the Camping World Bowl or the Alamo Bowl, does it really matter? Other than to your teammates and your coach and
yes,
your athletic director and your school's fans, you know, yeah, probably. But if it were to affect the race for the national championship, then I think that's when this story would explode on to the national scene and be a much bigger deal. And I don't know whether we'll ever get to that point. Like you said, it was two guys last year, but players are already starting to announce that they're not going to play in whatever bowl game they get selected for. And I think it starts with two last year, and it could be five this year, and it could be six next year. I mean, you don't know, but it's a trend that I don't see going away from anytime soon unless you put some sort of financial incentive on the table. And I know we've talked about paying college athletes for a number of years, and that's a non-starter with a whole lot of people at the NCAA and the decision makers. But there, I was reading the story earlier today about a guy, Alex, you may remember him. He was a first-round draft pick of the St. Louis Cardinals, although I think it was probably around the time that you were born. His name is John Erichs. He was a big right-handed pitcher, and he made it to the big leagues with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I think he pitched in about 54 games as a reliever or something like that, and he was close to getting a two-year contract for a couple million dollars. This is still maybe a decade ago. And so life-changing money, right? And then his arm goes on him. And he's living in Illinois, and he's working basically three part-time jobs. He officiates games, and he coaches his kids' teams, and he works in a Walmart warehouse where he moves boxes from one side of the warehouse to the next. And so I'm thinking, in that type of situation where I got $3.5 million and it's at my fingertips, but instead of blowing out my shoulder or throwing a baseball, I'm carrying a football in the Poulon Weed Eater Bowl or the Popeye's Bahamas Bowl or whatever godforsaken bowl. Yeah, I would have to really look at myself in the mirror and go, can I do that? And then at the same time, because most of us have played on a team of some sort in our lives, and you think you got a bond with your teammates. And I think back to playing baseball when I was in high school, and those guys are still my teammates, man, and you don't want to let your teammates down. And I wouldn't want to have to make that decision if I were a guy who was looking at NFL money and first-round draft money against teammates, guys who aren't leaving for the NFL, maybe underclassmen who are coming back to school, or that senior class that I've played alongside for 4 or 5 years. Having to make that announcement, to look those guys in the eyes and say, hey, we got this far. You guys got it the rest of the way. I couldn't do it.
I just wonder what that conversation goes like with some of the teammates on the team, because I just have to imagine, having been around certain players that have the chance to go to the NFL, that a lot of the teammates would be supportive. And at this time of the year, when you're playing in these bowl games, it's a developmental time of the year anyway, and you want to see what you have for that next year. And we're talking about some of these upper echelon bowl games. That conversation right there is interesting to me, because I think about the Fiesta Bowl a couple of years ago, where Notre Dame is taking on Ohio State. And Notre Dame has this linebacker by the name of Jalen Smith, who's supposed to be a top five pick. And he tears everything in his knee. He breaks a bone in his leg. And you just were wondering, is this guy ever going to play football again? And I think that's really where this whole thing started. Jalen Smith becomes a second-round pick of the Cowboys. He took a couple years to get back in the fold. He's playing a little bit this year, but a lot of people are thinking he's never going to be full speed to where he was before the injury. And a couple years before that, Ifo Ekpere-Olamu at Oregon.
Gesundheit.
Ifo Ekpere-Olamu at Oregon was a cornerback who was supposed to be a top 10 pick out of Eugene, and he tears his ACL at the combine. So I think for football, it's even more than any other sport. Maybe hockey's a little bit very similar as well. You really have to think about jumping at the money and It's not easy to look your teammates in the eye and say it, but you have to at least think about it.
319-366-1600 if you want to join the conversation. I was taking a look at the results of the poll question at KGYMradio.com really quickly. Who will be the bigger loss to the Iowa defense in 2018? Josie Jewell has about 80-85% of the vote right now. And I've seen the depth chart at linebacker, and I've seen the depth chart in the defensive backfield, and I've also seen the Hawkeyes this year, and I'm thinking back to guys getting burned in the defensive backfield, and I'm thinking, I know how much you guys love Josie Jewell, and I get it. He's the defensive player of the year in the Big Ten, and as Alex just said, for good reason. Josh Jackson is going to be missed because that secondary at times this year, go back to the Purdue game where they singled out one player in particular and attacked in the first series of the third quarter, and it made Iowa look extremely vulnerable. My vote, and not that I have one here, would be for Josh Jackson. Let's head to the phone lines and go to, we'll keep it here in Cedar Rapids and bring John on board tonight. John, what are you thinking about tonight?
I just wanted to go back to a comment that you guys have been talking about lately about living in the moment. You talked about 2015 with Iowa and how they may not have lived in the moment. You talked about Iowa State, how they weren't maybe not living in the moment. But if these players are thinking about sitting out, they're probably good enough to get drafted by a high team, a team that's going to be bad next year. So why not play the bowl game and just have fun?
And that's another way to look at it. But fun versus future.
That is the most difficult decision to make for anybody, right? I mean, that comes across our own life every day. Oh, do we go out to the bar and have fun and live in the moment? Or do we get some sleep because we have to work tomorrow? And they're having to make that decision, and they got one person, they got the voice on their left shoulder telling them one thing and the voice on their right shoulder telling them the other, except this time, millions and millions of dollars are on the line. And if you take one misstep and you don't even know it's a misstep at the time, it could cost you. So there are a lot of ways to look at it, and you have to weigh, those players have to weigh all those options before making the best decision for them. It is not an easy one.
319-366-1600. You can let us know what your thoughts are on the Hurtin and Stocker text line. According to ESPN, Texas A&M's chancellor says they are expecting to make a coaching decision soon. The Board of Regents met today in College Station to discuss the parameters of a contract offer that would be put in front of whoever the next coach of the Aggies would be. They also established a timetable for announcing the next head coach, which many people will believe will be Jimbo Fisher, who's currently at Florida State. And it goes back to our conversation with Adam Rittenberg. Guys out there like Brett Bielema, who are still jobless, and it's sort of like a game of musical chairs at this point. Somebody is going to be left standing. But there is going to be this second wave of job openings. And I think it's going to start with what's going to happen at Florida State, where that job becomes open, and then there you're going to have a number of candidates, including current head coaches, that are looking at making that move, and it's going to start the dominoes falling again, maybe to a lesser extent than right now. Maybe all of the marquee jobs have been or will be filled within the week, but you're going to see another round of coaching hires, and who knows, maybe this Herm Edwards thing will fall through at Arizona State and Brett Bielema can get back in the door anyway. I like the speculation that he was interested. Brett wanted everybody to know he was interested in coaching in Tempe. Let's head back to the phone lines, head south to Iowa City, and hear from Derek. Derek, what's up?
Hey, so I want to say first, I totally agree. It's the players' bodies, and it's their choice if they want to subject it to potential injury in the future. But if you look at the statistics, percentages of guys that actually have a long-lasting career in the NFL that can retire with that pension compared to those that don't, they're potentially sacrificing probably some of the best memories of their lives with their fellow players and coaches, etc.
Yeah, and yeah, again, thank you for the phone call. That's what it goes back to, is, you know, do you walk away from that? Everybody that I've talked to that's ever worn a college uniform says that they dread senior day because it's the last time that you're running out of that tunnel. And it's the last time that you got the fans cheering for you at home, and you get a limited number of opportunities to do that, whether it's home or away or a neutral site at a bowl game. And I think that you'd have to weigh that into the decision. There's no right or wrong answer here. I think, and I like the discussion. I like where people are coming from on this, but there's no right or wrong answer, in my opinion.
There isn't, and you see now that it's 2017 and everybody has a voice on Twitter, you see people trying to claim that there is a right or wrong answer. And that's, like you said, why I like the discussion where Derek points out, yes, it's their choice. Yes, it's their choice. This is what I would do, and that's fine. But when I go back to Andrew Luck deciding that he wanted to come back another year at Stanford, I heard this come out of someone's mouth. Oh, he's an idiot. No, he's not. No, he is absolutely not. He's graduated from Stanford. He decided he wanted to come back to school, and he came back, and he was still the number one overall draft pick. And the other way around, oh, well, if they don't graduate, they have nothing to fall back on. I've seen players the other way. I think back to my senior year at Iowa, Matt Roth, who played 7 years in the NFL. He left school as a junior. After his seven-year NFL career, he came back to school and got his degree. So I think the sense either way, he left money on the table, or, well, he'll have nothing to fall back on. Either way, it's there can be a way around it. And it's for different people, the decision can be different.
The Big Ten ACC Challenge is continuing in men's basketball. Iowa lost on both the men's and women's side. The women last night, a heartbreaker to Florida State, and the Iowa men lost to Virginia Tech on Tuesday night. Michigan State is up 20 on Notre Dame at the half. Notre Dame is the number five team in the country, and Michigan State is taking them out behind the woodshed right now.
That team is going to be a problem for anybody in the Big Ten.
Big Ten play, which, by the way, in case you forgot, begins this weekend. The Hawkeyes don't have to welcome Tom Izzo and the Spartans to Carver Hawkeye Arena, but they do kick off Big Ten play, 4 o'clock tip-off against Pat Chambers and Penn State. Tickets, the university would like everybody to know, are still available. I wonder why, because the team is 4-3 and just got throttled by Virginia Tech.
But isn't it Star Wars night?
Yeah, it's Star Wars night. Should I dress up for Star Wars night on media on press row?
That's the poll question tomorrow.
The answer is no. But yes, bring your best Wookiee costume, and maybe you can. I don't know whether there's prizes or anything, but I guess that's where we're at now with college sports and the University of Iowa in general. You got to come up with minor league baseball promotions to try to sell seats to a Big Ten basketball game. 6:52, we'll step aside. It's our final timeout of the night. You can't take them with you. Kyle's going to join us back in the KGYM studios when we return. He'll have your final big board update, and then we'll set the table for what's to come tomorrow as Alex departs for Orlando and Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com slides in. Back after this.
Looking for a career that you can actually be excited about? Look no further than CCC Information Services. CCC is now hiring remote customer service positions in the Cedar Rapids area. This position processes inbound calls and enters vehicle data for potential total loss insurance claims. The best part? You work from the comfort of your own home, not a call center. No commuting and no cost filling the gas tank. Great candidates will have 2 to 3 years of customer service experience, excellent verbal and written communication skills, and the ability to travel to Sioux Falls for paid training. CCC Information Services is a stable, growing employer, and they're eager to meet talented individuals with excellent customer service skills and a positive attitude. CCC offers competitive benefits, great bonuses, and career advancement opportunities. Starting pay is between $13 and $14 per hour. For full details and to apply online, go to cccis.com. CCC Information Services is an equal opportunity employer. Go to cccis.com right now.
The Ford year-end sales event is here. Now with 0% APR financing for 72 months, plus $1,000 cash back across a full lineup of Ford vehicles. That's Ford, America's best-selling brand. Now with exclusive holiday offers. Get 0% APR financing for 72 months, plus 1,000 Ford credit cash across a full lineup of Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs. Best selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for 1,000 finance regardless of down payment on cars and SUVs. 72 months at $1,389 per month for 1,000 finance regardless of down payment on F-150. Not available on Ford GT, Fiesta, Focus RS, Mustang GT 350, 350R, Raptor, or Super Duty. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by November 30th, 2017. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details.
You've got your rake, your gloves, and plenty of leaves in the yard. Now you just need to know what to do with them. Well, it's pretty easy. The City of Cedar Rapids divides the city into quadrants and picks up every other week. The schedule's at cityofcr.com/leaf. But you can make it even easier when you sign up at crnewsnow.com. Sign up with your street address and the city will send you a text or email reminder when it's your pickup week. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up today at crnewsnow.com.
I think the leaf vacuum is done coming through our neighborhood, which is bad news for the guy at the top of the hill who raked all his leaves to the curb the day after the vacuum came down the street. Yep. Well, that's why you got to pay attention to the commercial. See our news now, right? 6:55. Here's Kyle. He's got your final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the night. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa had a pair of all-timers on this year's defense, and today they were each recognized by the Big Ten as the best at their position. Quarterback Josh Jackson was named the Tatum Woodson Defensive Back of the Year, and Josie Jewell earned the Butkus Fitzgerald Linebacker of the Year, as well as the Nagurski Woodson Defensive Player of the Year. And this may be the least surprising news of the football season, but Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell was named Big 12 Coach of the Year today. He took a 3-9 team from last season to 7-5 this year, the best year for the Cyclones since 05. And while Iowa State had only ever had one victory over a top five opponent in program history, Campbell led his team to 2 in this season alone. The Iowa women nearly upset number 13 Florida State last night. The Hawkeyes led 71-63 entering the fourth quarter, but 21 turnovers on the night came back to bite them, and they fell 94-93 in the final minutes. Megan Gustafson had 34 points on 15 of 18 from the floor, but was held to single-digit rebounds for the first time this season. The UNI men did upset UNLV last night. Bennett Cook led with 30 points in the 77-68 victory over the previously unbeaten Rebels. Northern Iowa now has a few good non-con wins already, and to put things into perspective, their RPI is 27, Iowa State's is 20, Iowa's is 237. Tonight after the show, we're headed all over the place. We've got 3 frequencies, and we'll make use of all of them. On 1600 AM, the historic main gym, we'll have the Iowa State women traveling to Drake, set to tip off right at 7. We'll also have the Iowa City West guys hosting Dowling. That'll be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. And also Lindmar visiting Kennedy on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
The sophomore game just wrapped up at Iowa City West. It went overtime, but the Trojans were victorious. So that's one of the games that we'll be hearing, as Kyle just mentioned, coming up tomorrow. It's Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com sitting in for Alex. I'm sure we'll talk a lot about Iowa and its possible bowl destination. Plus, Rob's still working on a guest for tomorrow because, in his words, the week got away from him. And I can totally concur with that. How is it Thursday already? Appreciate you listening tonight. Hope you're back here with us tomorrow. High school and college basketball on the way for you right now.